Oh!
Radio. Yo.
Today's
yo.
The day.
Today is this is the
yo.
Day Juan Epstein
yo.
Becomes
yo.
Global.
Yo. Yo. Hey, keep talking, because I like when Big was talking over Puff's verse.
And
yeah, Puff's rapping.
Oh, the yo.
He's rapping his heart out.
Ladies,
it gets in the back, you know. Yo. I think I need my shit up a little bit.
That
was like one of the greatest moments of hip hop. The fact that Puff allowed that showed me that he cared more about the music than his personal performance.
You mean that he kept that?
Yes.
It was kind of genius. It is kind of genius. Oh, by the way,
it's super genius.
Is that Victory?
Yes, he's rapping.
His heart out.
Hold on,
ill is rough.
Sife, real quick. By the way, Sean Carter, Jay-Z is on Juan Epstein,
woo!
Ladies and gentlemen.
This very distinct voice. They know.
But I want to announce what it is.
Oh,
it's official. It's Juan Epstein.
Like you're wrestling.
Yo. I think I need my mic up, yo.
Before
yeah, the mic
we get
is cool.
started, man.
Need the headphones.
Me too.
Before we get started, I just want to say, Jay, I thought we was on the same wavelength.
Until you offered him a tart
we're
and
the only,
turned it down?
We're the only guys that have this vest.
Yes.
You and me.
Yes.
I thought you would wear it today. Like, I'm going to see Sife.
Brothers.
It's a little warm out for the vest.
I know.
Sife,
no,
I must say.
This vest is very hot. But
yeah. It's heavy and
literally
it's like
and
suede up top with some kind of...
I got this vest from BBC and I was like, they're like, you want this vest? I was like... That's cool. I don't know. It's a little short on me. They're like, oh, there's only one other one. We just gave it to Jay-Z. Yeah.
Let me get that. Me and Jay could be vest brothers. Okay, well, I want to before
we could be vest friends.
Hi-yo!
This is why he gets paid.
So listen, before we get into some real hip-hop stuff, I want to ask you this, Jay.
Wow.
I want to ask you about my Juan Epstein brother. What was Sypha Sounds like when he was doing work for Jay-Z?
He was the laziest. Now he had Sife is just a super passionate guy. You know, even when he was wrong a lot of times, he was just honest and super passionate and, you know.
Did he do anything worthwhile? Did he bring any artists to the table?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I helped with True Life.
Yeah.
I helped with True Life. I tried to bring Damian Marley, but it couldn't go through.
It was close, though. It was close. He sat in my office and... We almost had it done, and then it got into like Marley Estate, and then it just got.
Yeah, no, they shut it down.
Yeah.
Then I brought Polo to Don around before he blew up.
Yeah.
See, I was asking Jay what he remembered.
Yeah, sorry.
This is what you remember.
I don't remember.
I didn't work with him hand in hand every day.
I know what you're talking about.
Hey, yo.
That's gonna be the theme for the day.
Yo.
I should have stayed, man. I should have stayed.
Am I gonna say
something? Are you allowed to speak?
Not really.
Of course, I'm allowed to speak, but they're doing their Juan Ep thing.
Oh, so you're not.
We have designated time for K-Fox.
I have important questions for you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let them do their thing and then, you know.
We're going to let her. CJ, why do you.
Man, she bought the nails out early.
It goes.
Because they said, we're going to do a one-up, then you can ask your questions.
Well,
because
we felt like the hip-hop.
I'm sorry, that wasn't right.
Hip-hop.
Thank you, Jay.
I want you guys to know her feelings are hurt behind this.
Thank you.
No, we gave her own.
Now you got to deal with this.
We have to deal with it every day.
Okay, let me.
I'm having the ill deja vu right now.
Let's include her a little bit.
Thank you,
Jay. Hold on.
You
want to include Juan Epstein.
Juan,
this is hip hop.
Yeah,
say.
He's on a first name basis with Juan Ep.
Juan Ep. Yeah, because you're a super huge pop star now.
Oh, yes.
I've always been a pop star.
But you're bigger
really?
Than ever. Because
I was just watching The Can't Get with that video, and it didn't
you
feel
know
like.
How many people was out there?
Yeah,
a lot.
Was it crazy? And why on God, and why in God's name were you wearing a Reggie Miller jersey?
It was the, you know.
To be that big a dick?
No, I had blue and yellow sneakers on. Blue
oh, that's all it was? It wasn't a political, it wasn't like a I'm from New York, but fuck New York kind of thing?
No, I had the blue and yellow joints. Come on.
You know I didn't peep that. I'm white. I don't always notice the shoe matching game.
Yeah, we never wore the jerseys. We didn't consider the names on the back. We just.
Matching.
Matching colors.
He doesn't know how to match.
No. Look, my sneakers have a little red.
Yeah, actually,
you dressed up
he
today.
No,
he
today
dressed,
I'm at, no, yeah. I
dressed up today.
Well, you said we have to do a thing for BBC, so I wore an actual like matching thing.
Dressed up today.
But did you did always feel like back in the day on your early shit? My shout out to my man, my brother Quartermain, who's from Brooklyn, and always was putting me. You know how Brooklyn cats are about Jay-Z. He was down in Maryland, always talking about you, and was like, you got to listen to everything he's saying and how much shit came true. And when you go back. The level of shit that you feel like you had mapped out in your head that played out is pretty insane. Like you did believe you were that back then.
Yeah, one of my first rhymes was "I'm the king of hip hop," renewed like the Reebok, the key and Nike, and you know, it's like the deal with Reebok, you know, the whole thing. It was just, yeah, just putting those things in the air and just, you know, manifesting.
So are you a real big believer on that and picturing? That was what they always taught me in basketball camp. You lay in bed at night, you picture the game the next day.
Of course.
And that's actually happened for you, like, did you picture it this far? Like, go honestly,
well,
you going this far.
Well, you listen to it. Somehow I felt it. You know, while you read the source, I read the Rob report, and it's the Fortune 5, top 5 in the Forbes. You'll see as you thumb through the Forbes, I read the Rob report. It was like this whole thing about manifesting all these things. So, yeah, I felt it somewhere.
Okay, but you was rhyming. Did you think you would do it in hip-hop? Because you did it not just hip-hop. You did it with all these other things, like...
I didn't know where it would come from.
Art, like you're like this. I hear you talking about Basquiat. You made me go research this guy because I was hearing you talking about it. Like,
yeah,
the song, like the way you described that song in the book. I was like, let me go read this guy. I thought when I used to hear that name, it was like an old Russian painter. Right. I didn't know he was around.
You guys were around in New York at the same time.
No, I probably
you probably bumped into Basquiat.
You definitely seen him somewhere, right?
Like, yeah, like that was.
And you definitely seen his tag on the wall,
right?
You know, Sammo. You know, it's just like he was a part of culture. He was a part of hip hop culture. He was a graffiti artist. He was, you know, that became this ultra super popular artist after his death.
And how many paintings?
He came pop.
Right. The craziest shit is that we've said all the time is about you, is that about 6 times in your career, and let me say straightforward, I was a fan, like, I bought the In My Lifetime 12-inch on Payday. You know what I'm saying? I love Can I Get Open. But I was in Maryland, so I didn't know about your shit in Brooklyn, that, like, you were kind of popping in Brooklyn. I didn't have that idea. I just thought of you as this rapper, you know, whatever. And then over the years, you keep hitting these plateaus. I'm like, all right. Jay-Z is now. He went from that underground dude where I was all psyched that I bought Reasonable Doubt, like my underground shit, to now he's got Ain't No, to now he's got Hard Knock Life, Big Pimpin'. This last year, did it feel clearly like you went to a whole fucking another joint?
Yeah. My intention was I started out making the Blueprint 3. I was going to go all over the world. I had these conversations with Femi Kuti. And I wanted to make this world album with all these different sounds from Africa and Spain. I wanted to get all the credible and incredible artists from all these places to make this world album. Mm. You know, then Kanye met me in Manchester, and he bought this all these different beats. So it changed. The album changed, but the feeling of it was exactly what I wanted to accomplish.
True,
it became the biggest worldwide album I ever had. So my intentions to make the album was to make a worldwide album. You know, just sonically, it didn't sound the way I thought it would in my mind. But
you pictured it literally like more world music influenced?
Yeah, like, hey. Like, right. You know. Yeah.
But did you do that? Did you have that plan to become a bigger artist, or you just wanted to experiment with music?
No, I knew I was going to go around the world. I wanted to make a world album and travel the world and play music in places I hadn't played, in Germany and
hit all the festivals, all the major festivals.
Yeah. But I like the whole thing laid out for this year. I meant for last year.
Right. Yeah. Damn. Because I was like, when I heard the New York record, I was like, yo, this is huge. This record is incredible. But it's going to be local.
It's a local tune.
So he made a little local record.
Like his Dear Summer Freestyle.
Yeah.
Like how they play that on the West Coast. Like.
And it's a monster.
Playing in Germany.
I know.
Sing it like it's New York. It's the emotion in the song. Like the feeling of you could go someplace else and start all over, you know, and be something. New York just happened to be the place I'm from, you know, but it's the other words in the chorus that people really relate to. The melody is just so big that everyone sings it. But what resonates with people is those words, you know, in the chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my friend lives at 560 Station Street.
I know.
It's crazy.
That's an ultimate shout out. Almost too good a shout out.
Yeah.
It's a little disrespectful.
Hey, do you want to
address out there?
Do you want to go back to the thing we were talking about?
Okay, yeah.
Playing earlier.
Let's go back.
All right. So this came out recently. What we're gonna play, you're gonna know. It's a classic from your career.
The full version came out.
But
recently.
The full version just leaked with the ad libs and everything. So all the nerds got excited, and you'll know what we're talking about in a second.
I back to my man. Here I come again. Run.
Oh, that's not it. Sorry, this one.
Down. World up.
Say what?
95
say what?
Style. I got my man Jay-Z here.
Jay-Z. Boy,
step
how
up
you
to
mean?
The mic.
Step step up to the.
Your word up, the single's called Put It On. It's in stores right now. Produced by my man Buck Wow. And the chorus got Kid Capri. It got an LG remix, which you heard a little while ago. Word up.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
I was just wondering if that was a condom endorsement.
Oh, nah.
Yeah, we got Jay. We also got The Graveyard, right? That's coming up next. With Jay-Z on it. But we got Jay-Z in the place. What's up, baby?
What's up, man?
Yeah.
I just came about that hectic party, man, down at the city, man. That shit was hectic, man. Cops in there with shotguns and all that.
Yeah.
And that was an R&B party, man, you know?
Yeah.
So
the plague is everywhere.
It was probably Reef.
Yeah, it's by our man, Daddy Reef. Yeah. Yo, B, you up here, you know what I'm saying? So
I don't give a goddamn who it was. I'm here now.
You do your thing, baby.
Man, what the fuck were you talking about? Do you remember the party you're talking about?
I came from a party and it was like a shootout and cops in there with shotguns. So I was still on that high and I was trying to talk myself.
So what time
of
the day
down.
Was this? 3 a.m?
Yeah.
Because Stretch and Bob niggas used to go up there to rhyme
at
3. At 4. Like it was over by 5. Like after you go out, you could still go and get on the radio.
Yeah.
What was your like relationship like with Big L? Where did that come from?
He was like one block away from 140th and Damon knew him as a kid, I guess, growing up. And then, you know, we went on his block one day and we had like a half a battle and we just clicked from there. And he had a single out, like think called Broken English. We about to sign him right before he passed away. Like we about to sign him to Rockefeller.
Broken Language,
yeah.
That was the
No.
That was a Smooth the Hustler record. You mean Ebonics?
Ebonics,
yeah. Sorry.
He was going to sign to Rock.
Yeah.
Before he passed away.
I remember it was a done deal.
So you just stayed in touch with him over like that? Because this was.
Yeah.
This is 90.
Is that 95? It says 95.
Yeah, because that's when you're talking about the single In My Lifetime. That was 95, the single In My Lifetime?
Yeah.
So you just stayed in touch, and then that was the word, is that, Jay, he was going to be with Rockefeller.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Jay, to Syfe earlier, I was like, back in the day when everyone used to say that about Big L, his potential. I always thought he was nice, but I was like, I couldn't see him being commercial. But then again, I didn't know Jay-Z was going to become Madonna. You know what I'm saying? So maybe Big L, do you think he could have popped off?
Absolutely. I think he was very talented, you know, very talented writer. I mean, once you have that, you know, as you grow as a writer, you know, depends on whether you're going to be, a star and keep going or you just write in your own box. I think he had the ability to... you know, write big records and big choruses and just
really?
Worldly records. Yeah.
Because he really just...
He talked about some street shit.
Yeah, everyone street starts shit. Like that, pretty right. much.
Ebonics is sick, though.
That's what I mean. Like, when you make
slang,
that
like,
sort of record...
Right,
you
so
that...
you saw that he was going to go...
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's a sick... He's just not rhyming about the block. He like...
He actually... It's a total themed record.
Shit. Yeah.
So since you have this book out... It comes out today?
Today. Tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Yeah, today.
Today.
Yeah.
The book is ill. You break down some, you take your song and you break down certain references that people might not understand. Or even if they do understand, you have a whole story about that one line. It's a sick book.
I think the most important thing about the book people need to understand, I don't know if everybody, maybe they do, is that it's basically the story behind the song. And it's about the generation and what was going on. You know, it's almost putting songs in context, because anything without context could be crazy. Like, you know, I always think about that movie of Denzel, I forget the name, where he's in the hospital with a gun. And a black man in a hospital with a gun sounds like the worst shit ever. You know, but when his son is dying.
Oh, yeah.
Planning.
It was like based on a true story.
John Q.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the way they're treating his son in the hospital. Yeah. And, you know, he's going to die if he don't get this heart transplant. If you give... that to the rest of the story, it has context. Right. And now you can relate to him as a human being.
Right,
so when I give you what was going on in our neighborhoods with the crack epidemic and Reaganomics and all this stuff, now you start to, you know, I'm not saying that we do wrong things because he did wrong things as well.
Yeah.
And I know it's just a movie, but I'm just saying it was based on a true story. And I'm just giving you context, you know, for some of the choices that we made.
No, because if you watch the news, you hear... 4 kids in Brooklyn arrested for selling crack.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're like, oh, they're evil, they're drug dealers, they should go to jail.
They're taking the easy way out.
Right, but then you tell the story of why, how they got there, what happened.
You know what's funny?
Exactly.
You know what's funny about that? I learned this from Syfe, because my suburban way of thinking is so different than Fox and Syfe. In sports, when I listen to sports talk radio now, and they analyze what's happening between a player and a coach... white, the way we operate in the white world is you hear the story and you go, well, what a fucking jackass. I can't, like, it was this week was about Brad Childress. Why are the Vikings speaking badly about their coach anonymously? And everyone's like, these, Joe Theismann calls up and he goes, these are cowards. How would you ever speak to the media about your coach? Blah, blah, blah. And now, because the Sipes always pointing out to think about what the situation might be in full, I'm like, well, they may not know what these guys' relationships are with the coach.
Right. Right.
They may have no idea what the context is, but right. we just, white people jump out the window without context.
Right.
So this is actually a really important book, especially for your new audience.
Yeah.
Because some, like, people who know hip hop read into your lyrics a whole different way than cats who don't, who are from the pop world.
Right.
Read into it. And even I was like that. Before my man, Quartermain, put me on to Half Your Lyrics, I was singing them, but I really didn't know what you were saying.
Right.
And thank God you weren't using 5% lingo, because the Sipes could tell you I didn't understand anything that was being said.
Yo, I taught him about 5% stuff and then told him to go back and listen to Wu-Tang. It was like a whole new album.
Right.
I didn't understand
right.
anything.
Right.
All right, so right. decode this rhyme, Jay. It's not in the book. It's not in the book. We need you to decode this.
Classic.
Here I come, again, run, up in, niggas, it's a doo duck, and I'm boo boo bucket, fuck it, I'm wow. But a boo 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 band, what you niggas gonna do to the man? I see you watch your little crew, and I'm still coming with velocity. Check it out, Jedi.
Velocity? Yo, that's
I like that part.
Decode that rhyme. Yeah, yo.
Where that?
When I first started, it was more about being technical. I didn't have real life experiences. Those were like some of my early rhymes. So me and Jazz would just sit up and make the most ridiculous noises and sounds and try to, you know, almost be an instrument inside a, you know, a track.
You so were scat rapping.
Scat rapping. It, yeah,
good call, like Kid Fox.
Yeah. It was like more jazz.
Yo, but Can I Get Open was retarded. Can I Get Open Even Going Back was a pretty dope record. I mean, it doesn't sound like you in the same way we're used to, but
yeah,
Ski still murdered.
You want to know something crazy that you just hit me in the brain? I mean, I always bring up Frank Sinatra references to Jay. Frank's goal was to sound like, I forgot the band leader's name. His goal was to make his voice sound like that guy's trombone.
Right.
Make it sound like an instrument. That's why he used to practice and his voice would go like up and down like a trombone.
Right, right, right.
And he, like, when he heard the trombone, he was like, if I sing like that,
people will like
it'll be like an instrument as opposed to just a guy singing.
What the fuck instrument were you trying to sound like on that?
SP-12.
SP-12,000, right?
You should bring that back.
Yeah.
Well, you should bring that flow back, yo.
But what was, like, you're there, that's 95, you're stretching Bob. Like, did you go up there a lot?
No.
No.
I think that was maybe my first time up there. It could have been my last.
Really? You only
I'm
did?
I'm not sure. I think I don't remember doing any other time.
People say you and Big L were going at each other. People
no.
say they.
They always say every
Oh, yeah, they always say that, but
yeah.
these cats were going. Not going at each other.
No. No.
Everyone says that about Meth and Biggie on the what?
Yeah.
That Meth and Big were going at each other on that shit. But that you and Big have any shots at each other on Brooklyn's Finest? Didn't seem that way.
Irv says that all the time. I don't see where he gets it, but he does say that.
That record could have made you enemies, yo.
Why?
Because they going, like, that's
they both
made,
go in?
That record has made friends into enemies, debating who won.
Oh, the Big and the...
Who did win?
The public. It's a very political answer, but it really... The whole thing about collaborations is so skewed. I think Nas did it when he was saying, you know, Eminem killed you on your. I think Nas made that thing.
Oh, you're right. That
I
was
think,
where it
I
came
think
up.
That was the point with. I mean, because we always thought it. We always thought who was better, Coogee Rap, but we still enjoyed the record. Now it's like you don't even get the record out before the person is saying.
Yeah, nah, I try to enjoy
who won.
It, yeah.
Who won? Like the record is not even out before. You know, I when records coming out, they say, I wonder who got who. Yeah. The record hasn't even come out, so now people don't even enjoy the record. Which,
listening for beef.
Yeah.
We just thought the same thing about, we just did that about Eminem and Nicki.
Yeah, see?
No. Like, because Nicki held her own.
But that's cool. That's fine, because we do that as just like human nature. But as long as we enjoy the record. Like,
Were you offended by the concept when people say you got murdered by him on your own shit? Did that bother you?
No, I think he's... You know, I think he's a very intelligent rapper and very, you know, it's just when you make 4,000 songs, I'm a constant collaborator. you know, some people are going to have better days. It's just the way it is. But if we count the amount as a competitor, if we count the amount of records that I've been on versus people who've had better performances, then it's going to be like, you know, 400-3.
You're looking at the total record.
Yeah, but I'm just really just trying to make a great record. You know, I don't get a person to hope they have a bad performance.
Right.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be hot. That doesn't work for you. It's your record.
Yeah.
I'll say this in front of Jay, and I'm proud that I can say this without anyone calling me a dick rider, because I've had this argument so furiously with people. Takeover beat Ether. Period. Because
I think it's a weight, and I don't even think. I think in the history, when we look back, and I don't mean no disrespect to Nas. I think when you look back, it's not even close to the record. It's the record.
If we take the complete record.
We take Ether, it's 100 times better.
But that's what everyone gets into it, because Nas said kind of meaner shit, right? But the beat to Ether, and no disrespect to Ron Browse. That beat is garbage.
It's terrible.
Like Takeover, Ye or just?
It's the Doors. Yes.
No, it's fucking Doors. Ye. Like, it's a monster.
Yeah.
And so to me, I always looked at the complete song, and everyone's like, yeah, but listen to Nas. And I'm like, yeah, Nas is saying mean, insulting shit.
And by the way, people moved the history around. When they played on Hot 97, they played Ether and Super Ugly. They didn't play Ether versus Takeover.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
But a lot of people don't know about Super Ugly.
Yeah, so...
But the battle... Because Takeover, you say a line or two, like...
Lines that he hits with are more meaningful if you're ahead. I know who I paid God, Searchlight Publishing. But, like, you have to be sort of ahead to appreciate the jab.
But I just think it's just a better record.
I think
overall.
Yeah.
Just as a record.
Yeah.
If you know nothing about Jay-Z or Nas and you just put those two records
on. It's a better song.
Right.
Takeover is better.
It's too bad now that when Jay performs it and does the new version minus the shout outs to anyone in the choruses.
Who?
It's like, ROC, we running this rap shit. No Chris and Neef shout out. There's no Beanie shout out. It's a different song in person.
Now, I heard, Jay, that you are still sensitive and treat people a certain way that picked Ether over your song.
That sounds ridiculous.
You don't treat them a little...
I remember what the fuck happened.
That's ridiculous.
No. You don't give them a little side, little jab?
I don't even remember who... I don't even remember who did that.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that you don't write down any of your rhymes. All your rhymes are stored in your brain, and you don't remember who picked Ether over
like, you didn't hear people on radio,
If you look at that, if you think about it, think of it as a computer, right? So... If you have an iPad right there. So if you have music and it has the green thing, it has music and then it has other. That's my life.
The memory story. Gotcha. So memory. I music remember takes things, up 90.
Things that I love and resonate with me. I remember things that don't really bother me, I don't care about, are other. And they're this small in my life. Like, someone picking either, and I really mean this, and I don't mean this with no disrespect. I'm just being honest. I love when Andre did. I'm just being honest. I'm really just being honest. I have no idea who picked either. I could care less. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me in my life at all. It represents such a small thing in my life.
It's crazy.
Can you tell me a little about the idea? I love this. I wasn't DJing yet, but everyone told me about the promo idea that you and Dame had for In My Lifetime. Do you remember sending out the wax for In My Lifetime?
Yeah.
Tell people about
you mean
that.
Talking about with the champagne and all that.
Yeah.
My cousin Bihai, he really hates this to this day.
Why?
He hates all DJs because of this, because he reduced himself in his mind to, you know, this is a Brooklyn, you know, guy who's been in the street.
The pride is crazy.
He's making baskets, putting champagne and
confetti
party favors. Yeah, like he's gonna kill me for this, and lining the bottom of the basket with like that Easter stuff. You know that. You know that green stuff?
The
I don't even know what
paper,
you call
like,
it. No,
the grass,
like the fake grass.
Yeah. He's lining it, and you know we're making big baskets, and we're taking it to the radio station, and you know he's standing out there at 4 a.m. to catch Flex
with a basket,
and Flex is just walking by. Yeah, homie. Yeah. I get back to you.
And what did he throw? Threw in there the two copies of the vinyl, a bottle of Dom P.
Yeah, it was Moet.
Oh, Moet. Right. Bottle of Moet. I'm sorry. Yeah, because you had the bottle on the thing.
Yeah.
Bottle of Moet and then some party favors, maybe some cheese.
Yeah, cheese and grapes and chocolate.
Did it really work? Had all that?
It didn't really work.
Nah, did the record get any love?
Like, no.
Because I was just playing it on my nerd shit.
It didn't really work.
In My Lifetime?
No, man. Not on radio. Think about In My Lifetime.
Right. First record,
first record on radio was the Ain't No and
Dead Presidents.
Dead Presidents.
Dead Presidents got some love.
Wait, yeah, which In My Lifetime records. Was that? That was the...
I always forget which version's which. This Sierra Clark Kent one. I forget.
That one, right?
No, that was the remix. Wasn't that the remix?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's the other version. It's the In My Lifetime. It's
that was the remix.
That was the remix? This is the real
payday,
one. Okay.
Yeah. The Payday one was the remix.
Right, right.
This is the original.
Yeah. Where you playing that from?
From his computer speakers.
Yeah, that was the original.
Good tune.
Sick.
Very, very, very good tune. Let me wrap up while we were talking about the battle thing. I want to wrap this up. You did Prodigy pretty dirty, as we all remember it, Summer Jam and on Takeover. Do you still listen to the Infamous? Like, I feel like Mobb Deep, since you buried them, has sometimes, because you're so influential, have gotten overlooked. When I truly think they're, you know, one of the great rap groups.
I think they're fantastic.
And you still? Do you ever still listen?
Yeah. I think they're great. I think Prodigy at one time was, you know, one of the best rappers in the game. I don't know about ever, but I mean, in the game, at one point he was definitely...
He was up there.
He was close to being the best rapper. For a period of time, he was close to being the best rapper in the game.
Yeah. In the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, his appearances were crazy. The I Shot You appearances and all that different shit was retarded. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like that's the funny thing about your position of power is like, Jay aired Mobb Deep out. And now it's like cats barely mention Mobb Deep. And actually on the low, and I'm sure you haven't gotten to hear much of it, but on the low, Prodigy's actually continued to release, you know, not big, but he's still good. Like they're, and Havoc can still produce. And they're just sort of on the fucking sidelines. The G-Unit thing I don't think helped in the long run either.
Yeah.
But they were good, man. The Infamous is definitely my top 10.
Yeah.
But why, I mean, I don't know how you could answer this, but what's the difference between... They had this, at one point you had the same popularity with a lot of other people. How did you excel like to this whole nother level and then again, then again, then again? Like, are niggas just lazy or?
I think for me, and I don't, I can speculate on why, but for me, I think between my life and the story I tell and the journey that I'm on, I stay really close to it as far as. The honesty of those records. So around the world, people relate to that. They connect to honesty. Mm. You know, I think a lot of people get stuck in the time period and try to recreate that, but it's not really their life. So no one wants to be fooled. So you don't feel the same emotions for those, some sort of records because they're not as close to the real person.
That's musically.
Like, well, musically is part of life, right?
No, but I'm saying, like, do you do anything else that, like, do you have, like, do you, did you make sure?
I work. I got extreme work ethic as well.
Like keep your relationship.
What time do you wake up? What time does Jay-Z wake up every day?
Well, today at 6:00.
Well, for how besides a Howard day? Now, if you're not going to do Howard Stern,
I can wake up from 6 to 10. I don't really wake up after.
Never really after 10 though.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that people like me and my cousin Jeremy always talk about. Like, no chance Jay-Z gets up any later than 8:00. Like, I just imagine from your work ethic, there's not. I don't see you lounging in bed that long.
No, I can't.
That's a motivation for me.
Do you ever?
On the weekends.
On the weekend.
Yeah, on the weekend.
Because you work. Like I was telling, like I work. Weekends are busier for me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like people are like, oh, you could sleep in. I'm like, no, I gotta get up because I'm more busy.
You're wilding for that. Like, I need.
Yeah, you sleep. You don't go crazy. You have like a Mariah Carey meltdown.
Yeah, you need that. I need to sleep
TIL
in. I need
or something.
I need a bagel. And
I should have left Rockefeller. I fucked up.
Yeah, big time.
You made me go.
But you having fun?
No, he go. Yo, that MTV is a good offer. You should take it. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to leave. Nah, you should go. He kicked
you're
me out.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Kick me out.
You're welcome. He's a morning show host now, not 97.
I could have still been.
I mean,
he's not gonna fire the morning show.
By the way, Saif, I got bad news. The reggaeton thing didn't work out, man.
I didn't.
You know what I'm saying?
That was my way in, though.
We tried.
It faded, though. Shout out to Nori, but it didn't work out.
We tried to make it reggae, but it just didn't happen.
It just didn't pop off like that.
I almost had Vibes Cartel on Rockefeller. Forget it.
Back
it
then?
It would have been a fucking...
Vibes Cartel was around back then?
Yo, have you ever truly listened to Vibes Cartel?
Of course. He's Eminem of Jamaica. I almost had him on Blueprint 3. We tried three different hooks.
Really?
Yeah.
Who? What song?
Somewhere.
I need those. I forget.
Yeah, I know.
Where they at? Yeah, in the studio?
Yeah. Guru has them.
Wow. He couldn't come. He sent them?
No, he was there. He came to
Oh, that was before the problem. Mic.
Yeah.
Vibes Cartel?
Yes.
This doesn't have the same impact on me that it's
had. Yeah, nah, yeah. No,
I like him. He sounds good.
No, the problem with, sidebar real quick. The problem with Vibes Cartel is that he's speaking in Jamaican slang and has an accent. But if you read his rhymes.
Retarded.
And it's hard to read because the flow is all crazy. My goal in life, which will never ever happen, is to get Eminem and Vibes Cartel on a song together.
Why do you? Yeah, you feel he's that wild that you feel like
ill, sick. Go ahead. Anyway,
I wanted to ask you about meeting your heroes, meeting the gods of the game. I remember at Yankee Stadium, you acknowledged Kool Herc, which was pretty sweet. But you know, Kool Herc. But I know he's not like literally your hero in rap. Who would like? Do you remember meeting Kane for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely.
When was that?
It was a while ago at Fresh Gordon's house. And we made this tape, me, him, and Jazz. And he did set it off for the first time. I hadn't heard it as a record before. It was a freestyle first. And he did, and he said, I put a quarter in your ass because you played yourself. And it wasn't even a popular saying. You played yourself wasn't popular.
Oh, wasn't popular yet.
It was like the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I was like, what did he just put a quarter in your ass because you played yourself like a game at the arcade? And then you need to file aid and walk in the path that the law made. And I thought that I would never, ever be heard after that.
By the way, I like that Jay just said a while ago. That's how he described it. It was a while ago. It was when he set it off. And I was like, wait a second.
So that was what? When do you think that was? 87?
Yeah. Oh, whenever, man. It was a long time ago. A while ago.
A while ago.
So you got to know Kane, basically.
I didn't know him. We met that day, and then I was, you know, what I would do, I would come back and, you know, on the clock or Jazz urging,
mm-hmm.
and I would do something musical and then leave.
And not be heard
of. I would go back to Maryland, Virginia, and they wouldn't see me for 6 months, 8 months. And then I would come back again, do something, you know.
And they were just, they were keeping you in it? Like, were you not that interested?
100%. I was interested, but I didn't want to pursue it. You got to figure at that time, hustlers was getting more money than rappers.
Yeah.
We looked at rappers as clowns. We pull up in Benzes and Lexuses. They jump out of Turtle Top with 16 people tight, bad clothing. You know, we had big chains. If you look at every picture of me when I was young, I had a huge chain, four-finger ring, diamond, you know.
I know, the back of the Jazz.
I was living up. Yeah, and the Jazz jury was my jury.
You lent him that, right? Yeah.
So... And I don't mean as...
That's not a... No,
nobody's
Jazz,
taking disrespect.
Jazz, don't go make
man.
A new record right now.
So,
nobody's taking disrespect.
So, you know, we were living. So I was almost embarrassed to say I wanted to be a rapper. It took me a long time to do that. So I was coming back, sneaking into my world, doing music, but then, you know, going back. So I met Kane that day, went back. He remembered me and asked Jazz, man, where that kid?
Yeah.
And that's how we start hanging out. I mean, he came into the projects, picked me up with that Batmobile Benz that he had. Everybody was going crazy.
Well, you must, that
and
must
that's
have been.
When I start going on tour with him, and, you know, that's when we really start.
So, was that like, at that moment, was that the greatest point in your life? Jay-Z comes to, I mean, Kane comes pick you up?
100%. Not even close.
Do you still ever talk to him?
I saw him maybe a couple years ago. Yeah, we speak. I saw him at, it might have been a Nas party, I think. Because I remember Khalees changing like 3 times.
Mom did that at her birthday party.
At the community center.
Yeah.
I don't know what the part. I think maybe for Nas's album.
Do you feel weird when you see guys? Okay, for example, when I run into even people in radio, right, who were my bosses at a station that I was at 5 years ago, and then I hear from them now that I'm doing mornings on Hot 97, and their way
you're
of talking
to
me.
Up on them.
And their way of talking to me makes me feel weird, though, because they're talking to me big time.
Right.
Do you feel weird when all these rappers who you were here, they were your heroes, and you dwarfed anything they ever did, but I'm sure on some level you still want to talk to them like
how we're talking to
last
you.
Last time I saw Rakim, he was talking to me about DOA and how important and how incredible it was. But I felt the sense of pride. Like, I just felt for him that...
Yeah.
I still felt like the kid who listened to Rakim. You know, I felt like
That's never going to go
I almost felt like, how does he know DOA?
Yeah. Do these cats ever reach out to you? They ever reach out for a favor, though, to be like, yo, Jay, will you? Because I imagine if a Kane or a Rakim or someone like that asked, you'd oblige.
No, they don't. No.
They just don't.
Yeah.
Hip hop pride. That black man pride you're always talking about. Like.
Black man pride is serious.
It's black man pride's a motherfucker.
How would they ask, though?
I don't know. If Rakim's coming back with an album, it's like, would you do it? Jay?
If the record's great, I wouldn't disrespect.
No, you would, because you do some weird record. Like,
yeah.
You do records with people that.
Well, why wouldn't you do Rakim if the record was good, I'd assume?
Yeah, that's what I said. If the record's good, yeah. Oh, I wouldn't disrespect the emotion of what I felt with him just to do a, you know,
just to do a random joint. But
I may not be right. It may not be good, but in my mind, it has to be good. You know, I have to respect the legacy of what he's done.
Like, I noticed with you, you do a lot of features that aren't supposed to be singles, but they become like hood singles. You know, they play in all the clubs, but they're not like the put out single. You do that on purpose, or?
Yeah.
Like,
I do.
Because like the Drake song. That's
Drake song
one of my favorite songs.
The Drake song should have been a single, though, to me. I came out, the day that I heard that record, I go on Twitter and I'm like, the New York anthem is here. The summer shut down. And I played it on my Sunday night show, and then I was like waiting for it to like, and I didn't get that record. I always felt like it should have been a smash.
I think it is. I don't think it's a single in terms of radio spins and things like that. But
it's the cat everyone fucks with, the joint everyone fucks with on that.
Absolutely.
That's just.
That was a good records I like.
Yeah.
I like the record. You know. And I guess I like more joint. Records that are not singles than ones that are. I mean, for me, if the playlist that I have, like the playlist that I make, you know, very few singles are on them. It's just my taste.
What, playlist you make of your own stuff?
Yeah. You know, the play around the house and you know,
who's
I
in
make
your
a bunch of playlists. Oh, forget it. Tom York. Tom York, Prodigy to the other Prodigy from Mobb Deep to, you know, everything. I just like good music.
Do you listen to a lot of music?
Oh, yeah.
You have an iPod?
Yeah.
Like when you're on
a bunch of them. Like, I bought every iPod that ever came out.
Who loads it for you?
It's disrespectful.
Do you load your own iPod?
Of course.
No. You sit at a laptop. Jay-Z sits at his Apple laptop, I'm guessing.
I actually know how to use a laptop.
No, I'm sure you load some stuff in, but do you ever give like your iPod to Mr. C and tell him to put like
I try to get him, but he never comes through with me. I try to get him to give me all the fresh reggae mixes. No, he tell me
Mr.
he got
C,
me.
Mr. C.
Yeah, one day him and Flex sent me a bunch of Cold Crush though. They sent me a ton
tapes?
Of it. Yeah. And that's the only thing they came through on. Usually when I ask him, he's like, I got you, Brooklyn. And he never does it.
I like to bust.
Does that happen to y'all? Or just me?
Huh? No.
Mr. C has zero follow up.
Yeah. Mr. C and I don't talk anymore. Mr. C and I's relationship is getting worse by the day. Because
C's gonna walk in here soon.
Yeah.
You don't talk to C on a Monday.
Oh no, it's on Monday. Don't even say it.
Monday C, you don't talk to him.
No, Monday C is fucked
the
up.
The crankiest nigga ever.
The nasty African. That's where that name comes from.
Okay, that name was invented on a Monday.
His Monday vibes.
Yeah. And then on Tuesday, he lightens up. Wednesday, Thursday, he's like, "What's up, y'all?"
On Friday
C is the best.
Friday C is your best friend you ever had in your life.
So speaking of Mr. C, man, I mean, you know what? I just saw the Notorious movie. I didn't watch it when it came out. I protested it. I boycotted it.
Why?
And after he saw it, he felt like he was justified.
But why? But why?
I don't know. I felt like maybe it was a little too early. And then, like, I just, from the commercials I would see, like, I'm going to be the greatest. Like, I was like, I don't know. Then when I watched it, it was definitely, like, because remember, I used to DJ for Kim, right? So put it like this. 2 weeks before he died, God rest his soul, I landed in Virginia. Lil C's was Kim's hype man. We landed in Virginia. He gets a phone call on some kind of flip, one of the old flip fucking Motorolas. And he goes, yo, Big told me to go to L.A. And he left us. He went to L.A. I didn't see him again until after Big died. But, like, I watched the movie. It was definitely, like, the Disney version.
The context was wrong. The shit was
just
wrong.
A couple just things wrong that didn't have to be wrong.
Right.
Like, you definitely needed to be in the movie. How are you not in the movie? Not you, but someone who played you, like.
That character.
Right. Like, it was missing too much shit.
You also named a lot of the people that were.
I know how you feel, because I felt that way about D-Rock. I felt the exact same. Like,
did D-Rock take the gun or see,
It was D-Rock.
He took the gun.
Yeah, but they left him out. They left him out of
too
the
long.
Store too long.
Yeah.
Like, he came home after everything was gone, and he did. You know, I felt that way about him.
Just a certain little
thing. It's like somebody leaving Tata out of my story. I would be like devastated.
But I could see how they could, I guess.
Yeah, what if it was a big...
If you're looking from outside, but there's no way you could leave them out of the story. There's no way.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that we want to know. There's a lot made of your relationship with Big and like the hip hop history. It's always, you guys are associated, you quote him all the time. What was the actual relationship like with you? I always question, were they actually really tight? Were they kind of just like guys who were worked in the, you know, were both rhyming?
No.
What was the relationship
after with? Brooklyn's Finest, we went to see Bernie Mac. And from that day, I don't think there was a day that passed that we didn't speak. If we didn't go out to eat, we spoke on the phone.
Oh, you guys were that tight after Brooklyn's Finest?
Yeah, yeah.
But up until then...
If you look at his last interview on BET, he's a shout out my daughter. You could tell, right? Playboy Jay-Z, Jigga, it's the last thing he says. You know, he said about four names. We're pretty tight.
Just got close.
Day.
Yeah, yeah. I actually spoke to Big from the party.
The night he died?
Yeah.
Wait, you were there?
No, Irv Gotti was at the party. Oh. He was like, yo, your man's here, boom, 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 and went and gave him the phone.
Shit.
And I was supposed to go to L.A., and I didn't go. And I spoke to him right, like, in the party. He was like, oh, and he was so happy. I was so happy for him because, you know, imagine that time. You know, he went back to L.A. his first time, and Hypnotized was going crazy, and he played in the L.A. club, and everyone going crazy out and having a great time. So he was in the mood, like, I'm back.
Get over
like,
all this bullshit and all that.
I got all of it. He felt like everything was behind him. And you see that in movies a lot, like everything's great and then something bad really happens. That really happened. Like he felt like he had reached a point where it was behind him, you know, because it wasn't a beef with L.A. He felt like, you know, L.A.'s giving him his love back. He's happy. He's got a new album, which would turn into be Life After Death, which he knew was great, you know. And, he was
You heard
was
the whole album
happy.
before it came out?
He actually had four records. He gave me the... Downfall, Hypnotized. I was riding around. I was great time.
The sampler.
Yeah. I was Kim's DJ, right? So C's would come every weekend with a cassette.
Yeah.
I felt like I watched the album get made because he would have like portions of it. Like he had my Downfall before DMC was on the hook.
Yeah, and, that's like, what I had. Like, I had parts that. Of the, yeah.
I was like,
and I thought it was offbeat. I said, man, this sounds offbeat.
Yeah, it was like a little weird.
Damn.
Yeah. So was Big super in the period before him kind of getting happy, was it obvious that he was like super stressed out and scared?
Yeah, and just about life, like, you know, that sort of success, I got to see what it does to you. You know, it changed him and he stopped moving really careful. There's a time that I wrote about in the book as well. We were pulling up to Club Exit. It was called Carbon. You know how many times they changed that club. And it was some guys out front. And it's me, Tata, Big, and D-Rock. We were coming from dinner. We would go to dinner, like, every week. And we were going to the club. And with some guys out front, and he was like, nah, I ain't going in there. And me and Tata, you know, we fresh out the street. We don't have anything to lose.
Where were you at this time? Like, was your album out at this time? No.
Yeah, I may have had Reasonable Doubt out. It may have been early, but I definitely didn't have a second album out because he passed before my second album came out.
Right, so
okay. I may have had Reasonable Doubt.
But you could still go out. You could. Yeah. It wasn't like insane.
Reasonable Doubt. I sold 34,000 copies the first week. I could go anywhere.
All right, you're a good
I was still in the supermarket. So he was like, I'm not going in there. And me and Todd looking like, what? You know, we're thinking like, are you serious? Like, you scared? We're so ignorant at that time.
Yeah.
We're thinking, we actually left him. We got out the truck. Our ego made us get out that truck and go in the club. Like, we're like, we crazy. We going in the club. And we were talking about him when we left, which is so, like, I feel bad now. Like, we were talking about him. Like, could you believe that?
Like, what's wrong with this?
It wasn't scared. He just.
And that's what I'm going to get to. Like, he saw something. He knew that he'd rather not deal with that. Mm. I got bigger things to do. I want to go here. I'm going to be successful and I don't have to do that. So why put myself in that situation? And I think like that now. I don't put myself in those situations. I'm not scared of anybody. You know what I'm saying? I just don't put myself in certain situations because I know how I'm going to react. So why put myself in that situation?
Well, and risk versus reward.
And he had bigger dreams and bigger plans. I remember him telling me to move to Atlanta early, you know, before Atlanta became
the flight,
place.
Black flight, like went to Atlanta.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to Atlanta. You should move, get a house next to me. And I'm looking at him like, are you crazy? You platinum. I got a lot to do here. Like, I got a lot left to do. I can't go to Atlanta, you know. So he just had a bigger vision of what he wanted to do.
So he was, well, he was like, what, 3-4 years younger than you?
Mm-hmm.
He's schooling you.
Yeah.
Like, you're going in the club
well,
to have...
In terms of success in the music business, he was light years ahead of me.
Yeah.
Damn, man. Where'd you meet? How'd you meet him?
We met at Weston House, and then Mr. C would always tell me about him. We didn't know each other in high school, though. We just, you know, knew, like, that guy rapped, and this Busta Rhymes went there as well. So it was more so like, he raps, you rap, you rap. And it was like, we knew each other as...
What year was Busta? If he, because you were like a senior when Big was a freshman or something like that.
Yeah,
and Busta was in the middle.
No, Busta's probably the same age as him.
Busta's like I think, yeah, he's on par with me. Yeah, and
it's a normal high school.
Yeah, but we didn't really go like four times a month.
It was like rumored that you went.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was there any like weird like you and him clicked, became friends? Was your friends with his friends, or was it kind of separate? Yeah, everybody was cool. And...
Yeah, yeah, we were all cool. It was mostly me, Tata, D-Rock, and Big. That was the main.
What about the other cats we know from running around Brooklyn? I hate to ask in such an arbitrary nerd way, but like Old Dirty, like cats that were around roughly that age in Brooklyn. Who else did you know well or was around that we know of?
No, I wasn't around anybody else. I didn't have many people that were friends in the industry at all.
So Big was actually a rarity in terms of that.
Yeah.
How did you end up on the random freestyle with Shaheem?
That was Kane. Kane was running with... I remember Kane was a big advocate of Old Dirty, like, early on.
Really?
Yeah.
Before he was Old Dirty as we knew him to be.
Yeah.
Shit.
So you wasn't around the industry, but you was... You were still into music back then? Like, you used to buy all the music?
Yeah.
Everything? Like hardcore?
Nah, just the great stuff.
All the Tribe shit?
Tribe. You know, ooh. I remember driving around Trenton listening to that BDP album just all day long.
So the best shit? Yeah. The NWA is your Tribe. De La? You listen to De La?
Not so much.
Why?
I didn't really relate to my...
Yeah, people thought, because 3 Feet High and Rising this in the street, like, I don't think it had any appeal to people. And then, like, do you ever listen to later stuff? You ever listen to, like, their albums after, like, De La Soul is Dead or Balloon Mind State?
No, Guru swears by it. You know, I just never really got it.
De La Soul is Dead. If you get a chance on a private jet somewhere, pop it in.
Has Guru ever put you onto much Dilla shit?
No, my cousin, Bihai, actually was the first person to play Dilla for me. Like, I don't know. I guess he knew him some sort of way. Bihai is
this is a long time ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, that is a concept that's out there all the time, is that everyone's like, do you think Jay will ever get a Dilla beat?
I've had a tape full of Dilla beats, like 40 of them.
I'll give you 400.
That he gave you or after he passed?
He gave Bihai to give to me. Like, somehow Bihai connected with them.
Yeah.
And he got a tape full. It was amazing. I was like, I thought I was listening to something. I was like, man, it feels like Large Professor, Pete Rock, that era, but it's something progressive about it that's really cool. And I never got to it, sadly.
It could still happen.
Yeah.
There's still beat CDs out there.
Yeah, it won't be the same, but I know.
Yeah.
Would you do it, though?
Yeah, if it's great.
Can you tell me about, I ask everyone, what is the process? Because I know you and Primo have an interesting, funny sort of relationship.
I just saw Primo 2 weeks ago. We had a great talk.
And I saw you with him backstage at Rock the Bell.
Usually Primo, and I don't mean to throw him on, you know.
Keep it real. Everyone keeps it real.
Keep it real.
Never turn shit in.
You guys don't have to prompt me to talk.
All right, go.
I'm just putting a disclaimer out there, because I know, like, in hip hop, everyone's so sensitive about even things when they're truth, like Hammer.
Fuck him. What the? Who knew?
Anyway, so, he said, man, I got to get on this album. I know, because what happens with Primo is he's always at the end of the album. He always comes around at the end of the album. It's always too late, and it's always like, you know, a week later, I hear something that I possibly could like. You know, I never get enough time during the beginning of the process to Damn. You know,
did that happen this time too? Did that happen on three?
The last time I saw him, he was like, "Okay, I'm gonna get here early." And he called. To his credit, he called a couple of days ago. So, you know.
All right. So does that mean are you working again now?
All
right. I was gonna start working on a solo project, but now I'm working on Watch the Throne with Ye.
Is that coming out?
I don't know. We went away to Bath, England last week. I was out there doing some promo, and we did about 7 records in 3 days. So we're gonna finish another 3 records. Probably look at it to see if we should take any records off and record new ones, and you know, just to make it better. And but it's coming out amazing. So I don't know when
the joy.
We gotta finish it.
The joy.
Yeah, joy was fun. That was all. Those records were for Watch the Throne. So we had to just make a new album.
No, we're for Dark Joy, Twisted Fantasy? That was for Kanye's.
No. Joy. Monster.
I'm so appalled.
Those were all Watch the Throne?
Like, yeah, the Power Remix.
Because remember, there was talks of Watch the Throne coming first. Remember, it was like
Yeah.
That confusing.
I was just happy to hear you on a Pete track, finally. That was the first time
ever. Yeah, that's a Pharrell. That was Pharrell's dream right there.
Finally.
Fucking...
What?
That's the shit that pissed me off in that Biggie movie when Puff brought in the Juicy sample, but Pete did the beat first.
Right.
And
sorry. Another track. Yeah, another fact.
That's made me just think of it. I was watching the movie. I was like, wait.
That's not how it happened.
They're not going to skip over Pete Rock. He's going to mention it. No, they're going to mention it. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, they didn't even say it. No, Pete Rock did Juicy.
Now, Jay, I've been sitting here listening to you guys talk about hip-hop history.
Get it
in. That nature. But I'm here to tell you that they're not your friends, man. They really have beef with you. Mm. Because word in the street is that you guys are managing Solange, right, Rock Nation? Mm-hmm. And they're DJs. And they're upset at Solange that you guys keep on taking all of their gigs.
Yeah, all these non-DJs.
They're like, what's up with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's up with this, Jay?
It's not my fault.
Can you manage us? Get us some DJ gigs out there in these streets.
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Syfe, you know Jay. You guys can talk about this.
I choose my Jay emails
very wisely.
Very carefully.
They're like,
that's why I'm here today. I got an email from Syfe.
Have I ever hit you with some bullshit?
He hit me. Syfe hit me. I was like, okay, let me go see him.
He waits. He doesn't ask for everything.
I know it comes from a great place.
And I was recently at your I was recently Friday night. I went to the box.
Get about Syfe.
Okay, I went to the box to go see the big announcement, you signing Jay Electronica, and now there seems to be a little bit of hostility between Jay Electronica and Diddy, because Diddy tweeted something like, you know, he can't breathe anymore because he feels like a friend betrayed him, because there were rumors coming out that he may be signing with Bad Boy. So now that he's signed with you, is there some hostility going on that you didn't know about between Diddy and
Electronica? I didn't know their relationship I didn't know that they were friends in that sort of way. What I did know was that he tried to sign, I know he was working with him in some capacity, and then it went away like sometime last year. And then I didn't believe that the opportunity was still there to sign Jay Electronica. And when I found out it was like, a no-brainer to me.
But you and Diddy never communicated on that level, like, yo, I'm thinking about signing this dude, and, you know.
No, never. He never said those words to me.
Wow.
Damn.
Because they were recent.
And I didn't know they were friends at all.
Who, Diddy and Jay Electronica? Yeah.
That's
really
crazy to me.
I didn't know they were friends. I know he was trying to, you know, work with him. I didn't know.
You didn't know
friends.
Puff's heart would stop if they didn't work together.
These are the things that he's tweeting, and then Jay Electronica tweeted to Diddy that betrayal is a very serious allegation.
But they made it up all in the end, right? Diddy's like, I'm happy for everyone. It's all good.
After all is said and done, after he had to be checked.
It was a very interesting moment on Twitter. You know Twitter, Jay.
Yeah, I missed the whole thing. So
I know Jay doesn't go on Twitter.
You go on Twitter?
Jay doesn't go on Twitter.
Who tweets for you?
That's a secret.
Oh.
Not Jay-Z. Not Jay-Z's hands. Who's not tweeting for him. Yeah. What else you got, Fox? Come on.
Well, I also wanted to know if you think that Willow Smith is going to be bigger than Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber's huge, by the way. Huge star. And it's no way of telling. I know she's extremely talented, and I know we have like 4 more hits on her right now. If that means anything, then she could possibly be bigger than Justin Bieber.
I mean, when you saw her, did she just have that star quality? Like, I gotta sign
I
her.
Heard the record first. And
who played it for you? Will Smith?
Jay Brown played the record for me, and then he was like, she's nine. And I was like, nine?
I know, that's insane.
She didn't sound nine, of course. And then he was like, this is Will and Jada's daughter. And I was like, whoa. Then I went to Japan and I met her. And she walked in the room and she just said, I am extremely nervous to meet you right now. And I thought that was such a mature statement.
Wow. Right,
that I told her, I said, man, I think that's very cool of you to tell me exactly how you feel. And she said, I know, my mother tells me to say exactly how I feel, so I'm on that program. She used the word, I'm on that program. And I said, oh, she's a star. I'm signing her tonight.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's hilarious.
So Will didn't call.
Like, Will, you weren't sitting next to Will at the Fela opening, like, yo, check this out, it's my daughter.
Never mentioned it to me.
Never mentioned it.
Never mentioned her to me, excuse me.
Are you and Will tight?
We're very, I can't say we're tight. We speak and we're very cool with each other.
Associates. Was that fair?
But what makes tight, like what you, like you say, you used to go to dinner with Big all the time. Like,
that's tight.
Who's that somebody that you go to dinner with on a reg? Like,
that's in the music business?
Yeah, like we
I
had
say
like,
most the closest person in the music business I probably have is Chris and Gwyneth. We
Speaking of those random, literally random. When I first heard that, Jay, as random guy again from the suburbs, I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? This is the most random friendship in history. How did you guys end up being, why them of all people?
Because they're nice people.
They're just good peeps.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Very funny, you know, my sort of dry sense of humor. That's why I like Cypher. He's that sort of smart, dry sense of humor. You know, it's just, you know.
I like
people. I don't. You know, everything
doesn't matter,
else,
it doesn't matter
what
who
you
they
do
are.
For a living and what, and you know, who you are as a person has no bearing on whether we're going to be friends or not.
So you
know,
guys sit around and talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes? Do you guys do that?
Do you watch Curb?
Me and this guy?
Yeah.
No, not me and him. You talking about me?
Yeah, because he says he likes your dry sense of humor.
No, but I'm like saying, what are you talking about?
No, I do.
I don't really like him.
No, I love Syf. Okay. I mean, he calls me a stereotypical black girl from time to time. Yeah. So, you know.
That's
all part of the humor.
We had a fight.
He wasn't playing.
I'll probably say, let's not open up
he
that can.
We had a fight, and I said some things that I shouldn't have said. And I apologized.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course, I love Sight, but I just wanted to know, like, you know, when you're popping in, you just want to get your mind out of the world and just be stress-free. What would you watch?
On TV?
No, like on DVD or Syf likes Mad Men. He loves Mad
Love
Men.
Mad
they
Mad
talk
Men?
About Mad Men.
I couldn't
Men
really
a lot.
Get into Mad Men. It was
gotta commit to it.
I tried to.
You gotta watch from
it was
the
like
jump.
some episode where
the can't watch in the middle.
Trying to sexually harass some girl and she was like
no, you can't watch from the middle. It's all in the connect. You like The Sopranos.
I love The Sopranos.
It's all same, you know, one of the writers made that show.
Yeah.
It's interconnected. You gotta watch it.
I'm
gonna get you the DVDs.
You watching
done.
You watching Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Sick.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't watch last night yet.
Really
but
good.
That's just pretty
like,
good.
Like,
last night was great.
I like Family Guy in a weird
way.
Last night shit got crazy.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah. I love Family Guy.
Curb?
You watch Family Guy?
Love Family Guy.
So you learn something new every day.
You go home, you're laying in bed, 11 o'clock at night, you put the TV on and watch a Family Guy?
Yeah, only when I can. I don't really watch TV a lot. I watch ESPN and I watch Sundays on HBO. Like, there's always something for me Sunday. And that's pretty much when I'm in the house. I watch football all day, and then I watch HBO at night.
You a Giants fan?
No.
Jets fan? No. Cowboys fan?
Yeah.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew he was going to. He's a Redskins fan, so he just crushed his world.
Yeah.
Well, this year, at least this year, I can be in a room with
It's my pop's fault. I grew up with that team. I know no other team. That's the only team I ever knew.
So you're like a true Cowboys. Did you enjoy yesterday then? You must have had, at least
I didn't watch yesterday. I'm over them right now.
Oh, you took a break?
Yeah.
See, I always had struggled with that line. The Redskins push me to it all the time. We'll see if they do it tonight. That, do I deserve to walk the fuck out because you're not playing for me right now?
Exactly.
And so they crossed the line for you this year.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. If these guys, you're going to play like that, then you don't deserve my time.
And by the way, this isn't Peter Rosenberg's time. This is Jay-Z's time, for God's sake.
But how do you
walk? I could be making money right now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you walk the streets, Jay? Like, if somebody knows you like we know you, where you're, I don't want to say regular guy because that might sound insulting, but you're a regular guy. How much regular stuff can you do?
Good question.
What you mean, like eat dinner? I eat dinner every night.
No, I eat dinner, I know, but you can't.
At regular public restaurants?
Yeah.
I take a cab.
I took a cab maybe a month ago. It's like a rare occurrence. When I take it, it's like a big deal.
Why? Like, how do you?
Because I have a car.
And so sometimes, why would you get a cab though? What would be the situation?
Well, my car, you know, sometimes, you know, some
New York City
incompetent things
fast.
Happening. My driver's at the car wash when he should be in front of the building. You know, that type of stuff.
And, so, like, fuck
and I can't wait. And I'm like, I just jump in the cab.
How fast does the mob begin? Like, if you're outside and people catch wind, how long do you have when the first spotter?
About 45 seconds. I just realized that yesterday I tried to, I went to, and this is not like a fake plug, this is just real. I went to take a picture in front of the Gucci store because they got the jacket out there. And I wanted to get like a real time picture. And I tried to go out there and get the picture, and it was like, you know,
what, 40 seconds.
Not even 40 seconds.
The jacket of your book?
Yeah, you know they got the Gucci jacket, and it's hanging in the window. And it has, oh, a page. It has a page from the
which
book.
Which on Fifth Ave?
Yeah. Oh. It has a page from the book inside the lining of the jacket, and they have it hung up inside the window.
That's hot.
So I tried to get a picture in front of the jacket, and
outside.
I got out, and it just was like.
40 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. And
do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy the... I mean, people, you mean a lot
fun.
To people, but you mean a lot. You're not just
no,
like regular.
I, you know what I enjoy is when people see me and they speak to me as if they know me.
You like that?
I really enjoy that. Whoa. People say, hey, Jay, what's up, Jay? They don't say Jay-Z. They don't say, it's not like a thing. It's almost like a, you know,
well,
like a friend.
And that area that you were in is mostly shopping people, tourists.
Yeah, so that one,
like, what if, like,
it's like hiding. It's like height, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like the paparazzi attitude, but like, I don't know where you would be, whether it'd be just like four hood kids walking by, like, what do they do? Like, just try to slap you five?
Yeah, like, that, you know, that's when it's like, what's up, Jay?
But that's the best thing, I hate to get all racial as I always do, but that's the best thing about black fans.
Black people what? What do black people do?
That black man pride makes fans cool for the most part. They just want to dap you up and keep it moving. I explained this to Asher Roth very early. I was like, Asher, your white boy fans may start to drive you nuts a little bit. They're all going to want to pound fucking beer with you and be weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hit me up like 2 months later. He's like, yo, why are my black fans the best? They just walk up, give you a pound, and keep the shit moving. That's generally how it is. I'm not going to fucking...
Yeah, I remember you told me you took the train like...
94.
It was a blizzard or something?
No,
96.
It was the
blizzard of 96.
You sure? I thought it was 94. I felt
wait,
like
that was
94.
The last time you took the train?
Yeah.
You haven't taken the train in that long?
Of course not. How am I going to take the train?
I don't know. At least be amusing or something once. Like... I guess you wouldn't. I don't. You wouldn't sit on. It would be awkward to sit on the train.
What do you miss?
It would be like distracting.
Yeah.
Like, do you miss anything about?
Who wants that?
Being like.
I don't even take the train anymore.
Shut up, K-Fry.
I don't
take the train either.
You're the only
I
one.
I take
Rosenberg.
The fucking. I'm
you're
taking it today.
One.
I had a fight on the train.
I was kind of. I was actually jealous that Gabe and all, you know, a couple of my friends took the train up to Yankee Stadium. I was
for the show.
Jealous of that experience.
Yeah.
So I know I kind of know what you're feeling. I was really jealous of that feeling.
But you couldn't.
Then
do
you
it.
Got over it in the Maybach.
Yeah. Then I got on stage. Then I got on stage and I was like, take the train.
I'll take it on stage instead.
Yeah. I would love that. I would love the experience, but this experience is a little better for me.
But
for me.
But like, do you ever throw your clothes in the washing machine? Like, you don't do any of that stuff?
No.
Do you ever... Yeah, because bad man don't wash no gal underwear. Like, do you make a sandwich?
Yeah, I can make a sandwich.
Can you cook?
No, I can make a sandwich, though.
You know what I would hate? I would hate.
I'm trying to think, like, do you miss anything regular? Like,
I do regular things. What you mean?
But what things
it's a lot of people that
what
don't
things
perform
can't you
that
do?
Don't wash clothes.
I know,
no,
I know. I know.
That's like regular shit.
But, like, what do you miss that was regular that you can't do? Like,
take the train to Yankee Stadium
you
for
can't
a
go
show. I would love to do that.
Like when you brought Oprah to Marcy, was it mob?
It was kind of early, so it starts like the edges was coming, and the interview was over. Luckily,
I would hate talk about you. Like, I have a tendency to I'm an emotional guy at times. Talk about not being able to get into any sort of tiff with your girl in public. Like literally, be like. We're going to talk about this in 6 hours. Like, me and my girl will still be like, no, wait, hold on, I don't give a fuck. What do you say? Like, you have to be like, And we all know that, God bless your wife, all women are insane. So there's that moment where you're like, we're going to have to deal with this later. Because talk about a fucking field day for TMZ.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of insane women, Nicki Minaj is basically dominating
is
the game
insane?
Right now. She's insane.
K-Fox has beef with Nicki Minaj.
I don't think she's insane. I think she's rather sane.
What?
They have.
We've
met before. So this is on some other stuff.
Black on black crime.
I didn't know which personality I was meeting, and I was meeting somebody else at the moment.
Don't get me caught up in these.
No.
Don't drag him
into
back and forth cat fight.
I'm not dragging you.
Box fight.
I just want to get your opinion. She's definitely dominating the game right now. She's doing her thing. granted. Little Uh-oh. Kim was doing her thing at one point, but at one point you were associated with Foxy Brown, and it seems like all other female artists are just poof, they're gone. Do you think there's any chance for Foxy or Little Kim to make a comeback?
Yeah, if they I mean, they have a great name. They have to just make some great music. I think it's absolutely. But it was just a very difficult time. I think she is ushering in the new generation of female artists. I think she should be applauded as well. You know, she's part of that new movement.
She's very good.
Sorry.
No, no, I wanted to get your opinion. Like,
can you rephrase that as saying, fuck that bitch?
Yeah.
No, I think she's definitely doing her thing. I was rocking with Nicki.
When she first came out, we was
but it just
was.
Seems
I
weird.
Heard was.
No, it just seems weird when you actually meet. You know how you're a fan. You ever met someone and you're a really fan of them and then they're an asshole to you? Has that ever happened to you? And then you're like, forget them. I'm not their fan anymore.
First time me and
I know
Jay
I'm
said,
not the only one that feels like
when
that.
We met and I sunned you that first time. Jay was like, Rosenberg. I was like, whoa, hold on, kid. I didn't realize it was Jay.
Yeah,
and I looked at him. I was like, oh, my bad.
After the third time, I was like, yo, I like your shit. I was like, all right, man.
All right, good looking out. Good looking
I
out.
I met you on the show.
But you never met someone that you were just like a fan of.
Let me think. No.
Well, good for you, man.
He keeps it, but he'll keep it moving though.
Yeah, but Jay, you know his swag is always in 100, so it's kind of like, and men are just,
so is yours, K Fox. Your swagger's 110.
No,
if Jay's 100, you're 110.
This is very true. But female to female contact is different.
Yeah, it is a bit different. Yeah.
It's a different animal altogether.
Yeah.
Sife, we got. They're telling us we got Jay-Z has to go. Apparently,
right, so real quick,
we can only do an hour and a half.
Can you tell us? So we have actually
Hollywood Hove over here.
Something for the radio.
K-F-O-X-X.
Oh, we have stuff for the radio.
I know.
Oh, sorry.
But,
oh, gotcha.
Just so we actually have stuff for the radio, Jay. Just talk about the book real quick
and tell them about this contest that people can find the.
I thought that the Bing thing was such a genius concept that we came up with Drogba that I wanted to step the ante up. You know, I didn't want people just looking for clues for the sake of it. There's some people that just like to do it, so I just wanted to step it up. So I added a couple, I think it was 25,000 that I added of my own money to just add to the grand prize.
Yeah, what is it? People can find the clues, tell them
what. So what happened was, you know, people release books in the typical way. They go on a talk show and they talk about a book. I felt that I wanted to do something different. You know, almost like, and I took the approach like we make music. We put out white labels and singles. Mm. So I took all the pages of the book, well, 200 of them, and I put them out, you know, all over the world.
Yeah.
There's some.
Like the bottom of a pool in Miami.
Yeah, the one in Miami.
You know, in all these places, things. In all these places. So when you find those things, you put them back together, you can basically have a sample of the book. It's almost like a
It's
kind of
like Where's Waldo? You have to spot it.
It's a scavenger hunt. You take it and you put it, you know, through this Bing search engine. You put it all in one place. And you can actually read the book, the actual pages of the book. So you almost have a sample of the book.
This guy's genius.
And when does it culminate?
I have no idea.
When it ends?
When people? Yeah, tomorrow. Wait.
Wednesday.
Janet, one of these
Wednesday.
Days.
I think it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
20th, yeah. They said the 20th?
Yeah.
20th. Wait, say that again. Say the answer again, Jay, so we can make it clean.
It culminates on the 20th.
Perfect.
Good man.
What a clean answer that was, Jay.
Good man.
So the book, overall, just how would you describe it? Like, because I mean, I was like, I wonder what this book is really going to be. Huh?
Also, the grand prize is that you get Jay-Z tickets for life. Next year.
Thanks, guys.
See,
that's huge.
So what? Wait. So what, Jay, and what's the grand prize for?
You know, I put up $25,000, and also you get you know, tickets to any show for the rest of your
life. Rest of your life.
Rest of your life.
Jay-Z anywhere
for the rest of my career.
Enter this contest. Where do I go to enter?
Bing.
Bing.
Bing.com.
Yeah.
Boom.
But so good. Just describe the book real quick. Like, how would you overall describe it? Like,
it's almost like a conversation. Like, it's these lyrics and these songs, but it's all the things that led up to them. So it's like
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, I got to jump in again. You said you're not doing a cash prize. It's just the Jay-Z tickets for life.
So what happened to the cash? Who took
it? Yeah.
What
the fuck happened to the cash?
Where's Jay-Z's money?
Who took the 20?
I don't think we should announce this yet. We don't really have it together. Let's just skip it.
Skipped.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, if you send us the info tomorrow,
we'll take care. We'll add it on at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll add it on at the end.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Stop interrupting me in the middle of an answer.
Yeah.
So go ahead. The book. It's a conversation.
It's like these conversation of these songs and what they meant, you know, and it goes outside of I said a double entendre, a triple entendre. It goes outside. It goes into context of what we were going through and how we come up with these songs. You hear a song like Fuck the Police by N.W.A. and people think it's just a provocative song. Oh, these fucking guys are just ignorant. But when given context of how people was getting beat over the head until the Rodney King incident, right, you didn't know why they were saying fuck
now
the
I get
police.
It.
Now you get it. When you see Rodney King being beat like that on TV, you know, they were taking gang members in L.A. They'll take a blood and drop them off in the middle of a Crip neighborhood. Just drop them there in the alley and good luck getting, and that was the, good luck getting back home. And that was their way of having fun.
That's
you
crazy.
Know, so when you hear a song like Fuck the Police in context, you know why they're saying these things.
Right.
So I was giving some context behind these songs. The generation that we grew up in, a generation of hustlers that was, the neighborhood was infiltrated with crack cocaine by people way more powerful than us. You know, the whole Iran-Contra situation and Reaganomics and all these things led to our decisions. It wasn't like we woke up one day and said, I'm sorry, we woke up one day and said we want to be the biggest drug dealers in the world.
Right.
You know, we weren't given any opportunities. The difference between Bill Gates and, you know, Billy G from the hood is Bill Gates had access to computers way before anybody. You know, so he got to work on, you know, he got to
touch computers.
And, like, yeah. And so now he's created water. He's created something that's bigger than water, you know, because of the opportunities. We weren't afforded these opportunities. So we did what was in front of us.
Yeah.
And what was in front of us? It was drugs. It was everywhere. You gotta figure what at the time. You put the time into context. And of course we made bad decisions. I'm not saying every decision we made was great. We're 16 years old. Of course we're gonna make bad decisions. It just so happened that our decisions were life and death.
Right.
You know, that doesn't happen. And
that's the biggest difference between the suburbs.
Yeah.
A 16-year-old makes a dumb decision.
Right.
They drink and drive. They do something stupid. They have a party when their parents are gone for the weekend.
Right.
But the opportunities
to make... And mess the house up.
Right. The opportunities to make bad decisions are totally different.
Exactly.
Steve, man.
And that's the context that these songs are putting in. So you have this book about a generation of kids, our language, and it really describes rap as poetry. It makes the case that rap is poetry because it is. You know, you think about some of these genius songs that are made. You know, it's real poetry.
Yeah, and then, like, some people even describe, like, oh, some of these rappers are so ignorant and all they talk about is getting money and hustling. I'm like, it's all they know. Now think about how creative they're being with just one. They had, like, one toy. Look how they're making it do this, making it do that, like that. And then as you get, like, yourself, you get older, more successful, you learn more things. Because we can hear in your rhymes now, you talk about things that I have no idea what you're talking about. There's places you talk about.
Life experiences change.
Right.
And artists change.
Right. Did you actually sit down and write this book, or did you tell it to someone else and then they wrote it for
you? I didn't physically write it, but if you read the book, you hear my voice in it. You know, that was important for me to say my story, you know.
So yeah,
Dream Hampton, you know, and she was a godsend for me. Like, she helped me organize these thoughts, but it's 100% my voice and my words.
Okay.
You know?
Yo, Jay, we got to let Jay-Z go, man.
Jay, thank you so much for coming through, man. We appreciate it.
Juan Epstein, you did it.
He's going to be at later today at the Barnes & Noble on 46th Street, 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So we were talking about a mob earlier.
There will be a mob
there. There'll be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So go get the book. It's called Decoded. He didn't do it. Usually around this time, he does an album.
Said he did a book.
Does an album which knocks out everyone's Christmas sales. This year he said, I'm not going to do an album.
I'm going to let you guys live in the music game. Yo, the book game, I'm coming for you.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying? Going for these authors instead, coming for their neck.
Yo, I swear, Judy Blume is shook.
Hey,
right
listen,
now,
hey,
son.
Ann Rice. Yo, Ann Rice, watch your back, bitch. I'm coming. That's what Jay-Z's doing.